Welcome to episode 46 of the Hellbound
46,
podcast.
46.
With myself, Alex Blackburn, the founder and director of the Hellbound Horror Festival, and joining me to get Jesus Christ today is the amazing Michael Chan. How you doing, Michael?
I'm quite gay, so really, you're introducing me properly. Yes, I am Michael Chan. You're a very bisexual actor who's in Star Trek Discovery Season 4. Look me up. I'm in 2 episodes. Thank you for that amazing introduction, Alex. Are you sure you're Alex and not the doppelganger Alex? Because, I defeated quite a few of my doppelganger Michael Chans, and I discovered from them that they're doppelganger Alexes now. Because the Michael Chans are fed up with how easily I can defeat them. So they're teaming up with the Alexes to try to defeat both of us.
Yeah, the first doppelganger that I would love to meet is the one that has better knees and better legs and is a healthier version of me.
Are you okay? What happened?
I had a bowling injury I had a tight hamstring. So, and then I collapsed in the bowling alley and the staff there didn't help. And it was just I was there, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and my wife arrived about half an hour later. I tried to continue like a fool. And yeah, it really wasn't fun. It was the second time since I bought my own bowling ball, got measured for it, all of that. A bit devastating, really. So I've had to just work at home, which I don't mind doing, but it's a little bit depressing at the same time. Not being able to go and shoot things and, you know, be creative outside the house. But thankfully, my work allows me to work at home and it's flexible enough that way. And yeah, I've kind of rediscovered certain things online because I can't really do much outside. So I'm like beefing up my website, my LinkedIn, all that kind of boring, normal adult stuff. Hopefully, if I feel up to it, I'm going to go and watch the Jaws on IMAX this evening.
Oh my God, I want to see that so bad.
Because it's my favorite movie and I've got the IMAX poster next to me, I really, really can't wait.
Jaws DVD, but there's the edition that comes in the VHS box. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I think I've got multiple versions of this film more than
I think I have 3 or 4.
Any other, yeah.
Yeah. I hope you get better soon. And,
Michael.
Sorry to hear that. Once I come back to the show, you're injured. And, you know, what timing? Because I am sick. I have a cold. So if any of you think that I'm a Michael Chan doppelganger because my voice is different today, no, I have a cold. So I have an excuse.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm not a doppelganger. So I spent my last week outside of filming stuff. I've been at the Toronto International Film Festival, or TIFF. And it's been amazing. Like, it's the first time in my, like, I've been doing this for 16 years as an actor. Doppelganger Michael Chance will never burp on air. And I just burped. See, this authenticity right here. But anyways, I've never actually been to a TIFF event or party or anything. I've gone to TIFF screenings, but I've never actually participated in parties. But this year, my agent was like, Michael, come on. You know, it's you've waited long enough. I don't know why you don't go to these things. And I'm like, well, this year's COVID? And she's like, no, just go. Just go, Michael. You'll be fine. But don't go to too many. I'm like, okay. So to kind of give back to the community, the first event I did, I actually sponsored. I sponsored, using my real estate company that I manage, I sponsored the Young Filmmakers Party, which I wanted to show support for the next generation of talent. And also, it was basically a kickoff party for TIFF. So I wanted to, you know, also as an Asian, it's important for me to show other Asian talent and creatives that there are Asians out there. you know, who are supporting the community and here to make sure that, you know, we have a future and a very good future, because diversity and representation are very important. They matter. And I want them to see the representation and the sponsorship as well. And so that's how I chose to kick off TIFF this year, by being a sponsor of one of the biggest events, kickoff events of TIFF. And that was an absolute amazing experience. The only thing is, and I don't know if this is a horror story for anyone, but like, I haven't been to parties in a long time. So, you know, there are a lot of people that I've met or seen online, you know, on a little, my little phone screen on Instagram or on Zoom or whatever. So now I'm at like this party and some of these people are starting to show up and I'm looking at them like, is that so-and-so? Like, is that actually them? Or am I just like,
yeah,
not remembering right? So, you know, there's like this anxiousness, this kind of nervousness, almost embarrassment when you go up like, hey, are you? And then hoping that when you say their name, it is them, you know? Because now not just the head and shoulders, it's a whole body. Wow, you have legs. You're not some, you know, dismembered thing on my screen.
Yeah, that's going to be really weird when I finally come to Canada. I think we're planning to be there in October next year for Halloween.
Oh my God, just, that's amazing.
Just to kind of round up Hellbound, and not for it to be a work thing, just like a visit. And I want to kind of speak to some of the filmmakers and meet yourself and a few other people and turn it into a really pleasant trip. But it's going to be odd. I totally agree. Like, meeting people in person after all of this craziness for the last 2 and a bit years, it's just surreal, isn't it?
It's extremely surreal. By the way, when you come, I just need to warn you, I've been told I have really nice legs. So if you fall in love with me, I apologize to your wife.
Yeah.
I had it for me. I don't mean to steal them away. It's just, you know, my legs, he's never seen them on a screen. You know, I haven't put my legs up for him to look at on the screen, but once... So yeah, Vicky, I'm so sorry.
Should we listen to each other?
That's how alluring my legs are. Yeah. That's why I keep them off camera.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. it's very surreal. And, you know, I went to 3 different events and it's just, you know, I also think like the pandemic is also a good excuse to go like, hey, I think I saw you online. I'm Michael Chan. What's your name?
Brilliant.
I did see you online. Even if you didn't see them online, you know what I mean? You're like, let's say you know that person's the director of this film or whatever, and you've never met them before. It's a good excuse. Aren't you the director of this film as well? Yeah, I've seen you online, right? And they'll be like, they're so embarrassed. They're like, well, yeah. I've seen you online too. Yes, of course.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's a really good
in. It's not going to last, though, guys. So the pandemic excuse only works for 1, maybe 2 years, and that's it, guys. So but use them while you still can. Yeah, that's a tip from Michael Chan.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Let enough of the tip stuff. Let's jump into our episode. You were telling me you had a nightmare. I really want to hear about it.
Yeah, the nightmare. I was recommended a film called The Vindicator last week. And it's the first time that a film has seeped into my subconscious. And it's purely because of this one kill with Pam Grier. And she plays this kind of hired security person to clear up a mess at this science lab, because the film's basically a modern or an 80s interpretation of Frankenstein, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And it's really kind of a awful movie, but there's a few scenes in it that are like absolutely fantastic, because sometimes you get that. Sometimes you see a terrible movie, but then there's a little peppered in with some magic. Pam Grier murders someone, blatantly murders this innocent person. But it's the way it's shot. It's the terrible version, because it's like there's too much contrast in the image. It's like poor processing of the film, or just because it's an 80s movie and the lighting and the moody music. It's this really visceral moment, and it's it's really disconcerting for me when I watched it. And then I had a complete nightmare about it the same night. So yeah, it's absolutely gruesome. There's something about kills in 80s movies that just feel darker generally, because things are, they're not evenly lit in films now, but it's not, in some ways, not as dynamic, or doesn't, there's something a bit too obvious with lighting now. Maybe it's just my mind and I see 80s films differently, but the kills and deaths in 80s films, especially in the horror genre, just affect me way more than anything I see now.
Well, I think part of it is that back then we didn't have the level of technology and CGI and all that, or even makeup ability that we have now. So with that period, what you see is a lot more practical effects, a lot more imaginative, creative ways of, you know, shooting the gruesome stuff, you know, to make it look real, even though you don't have, you know, the lighting we have now. You don't have computers that can do what we can do now, and the makeup is different back then. So I think it's, you know, especially when they're able to elicit the kind of emotion in you and in an audience that they do with that, I guess, lack of technology compared to now, it's an incredible feat. But also, like, yeah, no, I noticed it's one of the things I like about indie films now as well, like smaller budget horror. It's because they clearly don't have what all the, you know, multi-million dollar blockbuster horror films have. And so they have to be creative in the way they deal with their horror, like the indie flick Psycho Goreman, right? Like, yeah. I mean, sure, they crowdfund and they have some amazing costumes, which I think is where they spent most of their money. But then when it came to all the gory stuff, it's like, it looked like mostly practical effects plus, you know, a lot of creative angles, creative shots, cheating, the screen, like the shot and all that stuff, just to get it to look as good as possible, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I like about, I don't know what the budget is, but the Hellraiser movie that David Bruckner's directed, and you've got Jamie Clayton, who's a trans actor. She was in Sense8. She's absolutely amazing in that. And she's playing Pinhead in this new film. And
yeah, I can't wait.
Have you seen those stills? They look absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And I hope it's not just like lit for posters or whatever, but if it's anywhere near what we're seeing, and we saw the other Cenobite, who's like body's just kind of stripped away, that's going to absolutely knock it out of the park. And yeah, I'm super, super excited about that. And like you say, you know, that's one of the reasons I started to support this Sudbury Indie Creature Con in Northern Ontario, because it's helping support low budget, if not zero budget filmmakers who really kind of push the boundaries of what they can do. And I really kind of like that a lot. And that's why I kind of harbor back to older films as well. The constraints of budget are much smaller. There's films now that the budget is just so, so bloated. And I think that it's almost like they aim to spend more money and not to be efficient. And, you know, you see what you've got something like, Midsommar, where the budget's not going to be huge. There's no massive actors in it, but they're super efficient with what they do. And it's just like, wow, this is just really kick ass. And they've got to be super creative to achieve what some people try and pay towards, you know, try and buy themselves out of terrible writing. But
speaking of creative movies that are a little bit under the radar, have you heard of the film Little Monsters, starring Lupita Nyong'o and Josh Gad?
I've not, no. Is she a teacher, or is that a zombie film or something?
So I was recommended this film. It's a zombie flick, So Lupita Nyong'o plays a school teacher. She's a really, really nice person. And there's this other character who is kind of a deadbeat. He's kind of a jerk. He's not a good guy. His nephew is a student in Lupita Nyong'o's class. Now the class has to go on a field trip, and because he thinks Lupita Nyong'o's character is really attractive and he wants to get with her, he kind of weasels his way into into being a chaperone. And then all hell breaks loose. There are zombies and the kids get trapped. And the rest of the movie is, you know, how do they resolve that? Now, one of the interesting things about this film is that they chose to go with the old school George Romero, like 1970s shambling zombies instead of the running zombies that we have now.
Okay.
So that actually was a very interesting decision, but also allowed for the film to stand out, because we a lot of people nowadays, like, they would argue, like, well, if zombies were just shambling, I totally kicked their butts. I'm like, yeah, no, you won't. This movie shows you why.
does it justify it well? Like, because that would be jarring for, I'd say, the newest generation of film fans that, you know, since, what, 28 Days Later, people are used to it?
Yeah, and it's funny because they even make note of it in the film. It's like, wait, they can't run. All right. But, you know, people still die, and it's justifiable. I mean,
yeah.
At the end of the day, just think about it, right? Like, if there's enough of them, you can only kill them so quickly. And everybody thinks it's easy to you know, bash in a head or cut off a head. It's not, guys. Trust me. No, I haven't killed anybody. Okay. But as someone who studied in pre-med, who wanted to be a doctor, I know enough about the human body, let's just say. I've dealt with cadavers. It's not as easy as you think. So even with shambling zombies, I think it would be very difficult for you to be able to survive if they come in large enough numbers. Or if you're surprised. And I think a lot of people don't realize that there's emotions do play a part of this. If a zombie outbreak broke out, first of all, a lot of people won't even know what's going on, right? They won't believe that they're zombies and they'll get bit. Or it's a loved one and you're like, wait, what are you doing? No. And then you get bit, right? Yeah. It just keeps going. And now you have a zombie horde. So, and then really, everyone thinks they can shoot them in the head. Guys, how many of us actually can aim with a real gun? Really?
Yeah, exactly. And how long will that take us before we even get bitten or something? So
anyway, so this movie actually was very good at making the shambling zombies terrifying, but it was also a comedy, and they had really good mix of horror and comedy in it. I felt that the jerk who was interested in Lupita Nyong'o's character had a very good kind of growth arc through the film, which is, you know, what you would expect when you have a jerk at the beginning, right, of a zombie film. Either they die or they grow. And yeah. I like that he grew. That's the only spoiler I'm going to give all of you. And Josh Gad, I got to say, man, him playing a villain, I love it. The guy needs to play more villains. He should lean into that. Because I think him, his personality in real life, all this stuff really lends well to that kind of, you know, loudmouth, arrogant jerk of a bad guy, which he played. Like, I was like, chef's kiss. That was a perfect villain.
What's the what's the lead actor, the dad in Modern Family? What's the actor called?
Ty Burrell?
Yeah, he's like, look at his role. The first thing that I ever knew him from, Dawn of the Dead,
that's where I saw him.
Phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. He kind of leaning into that, and you see some of that in Modern Family. But yeah, I think that
I was shocked to see him in Modern Family the first time. I was like, wait, you got the guy from Dawn of the Dead who's having sex with a woman the entire time and being a misogynist and he's a jerk. I'm like, you got that guy? And, yeah. He became my favorite character. Dunphy, guys, he is underrated. That is the best character in the show. As a dad, I totally relate. I want to be the cool dad. I don't think I'm all that cool. I'm probably going to embarrass my kids when I grow up. So sorry, kid. Addicted it now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sad to say we've only got a few minutes left. But yeah, I'm going to go. I don't know. Did I mention that I'm going to see Jaws tonight on IMAX? Did I mention that earlier? I can't remember.
Well, we did talk about Jaws, but I didn't know you were going to see it tonight. You are one lucky guy.
Yeah, it's a really minimal release. I don't think it's any particular anniversary. It came out in 75. So, no, they're just releasing it in IMAX and Real D 3D for the first time. And apparently Spielberg supervised the scanning transfer of the film. But this is the thing. If you know the film exceptionally well, like I know it very well because I've seen this very close to a thousand times. I've watched this more than anything else. I know when sounds are changed in the film. I know when the mix is messed around with and they change certain elements of the mix. I think it was in the late 90s when they released it on another versions on VHS. Maybe it was the 20th anniversary. But yeah, I really hope they don't kind of mess with it too much. But obviously, if it's going on a IMAX, you know, surround sound, they're going to do something with the mix. Because they brighten the film up. In many scenes, they brighten the film up significantly. So you could see Chrissy Watkins at the beginning. So you can see the turkey. Was it the holiday roast or a piece of ham? You know, when they hook it and then the dock's taken away. So they brighten all of those scenes up. And I don't like, maybe that's what the original intent was, but maybe he should have learned his lesson from when E.T. Special Edition came out, because that was dreadful what they did with that. And he even admitted it when E.T. Special Edition came out. He made serious mistakes replacing the guns with walkie-talkies and the big CGI ship at the end instead of the model. So
really, just should stop patching old movies.
Yeah, it's like, well, I shouldn't admit this, but I was part of this group that was called the George Lucas disease on Facebook when Facebook really started, 2005? And it's just because I was so unhappy with all these changes being made. Yeah, I really hope that it's not messed with.
Like, can you imagine if Leonardo da Vinci patched a Mona Lisa throughout his life?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What would it look like? Would she look like Potato Jesus?
Yeah, it's crazy. What? Just stop picking with it, picking on it, you know, and. Yeah, it's a complete waste of time. It's purely for money. That's what it is. And there's no real reason to re-release Jaws again, but it's just another opportunity for me to see in the cinema, especially on IMAX. So I'm really going to enjoy that tonight. But yeah, this has been great, Michael. Great for a catch-up, and hopefully everything goes well on set for you tomorrow and you recover from whatever you're going through at the moment.
Yeah, I hope I recover from this, because my voice is only at 50% today, and since I have to shoot tomorrow, I'm hoping it'll go back to close to 100, because there's some continuity stuff, so I don't want to...
Oh,
people
will
be like, why did his voice change halfway through this episode?
Yeah, you don't want the audio guys kind of swearing your name across the board, do you?
And again, they could probably just ADR me later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want them to waste time, and I'll be fine.
Well, this has been great, Michael. And we'll speak very soon, my friend.
Yes, so everybody, we are on social media. On Instagram, we are at the Hellbound Podcast. If you have anything you would like to be featured, like cosplay or art or anything at all, just hit us up, send us a private message at the Hellbound Podcast on Instagram, and we will feature your work. Also, if you like what you're listening to and are not annoyed by Alex or myself, please consider subscribing or following.
As Michael was saying before we got cut off, if you'd like to help support the podcast, please consider following us on Instagram at The Hellbound Podcast. And please check out the hellboundhorrorfestival.com website for all things festival. All right, harness the darkness.